the shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Score! Baby and Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Splits the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Huberdeau. Kuzmenko on the left point has it. He stick handles, gives back to Huberdeau, holds the puck. Sturm tried to check it away. Shot by Huberdeau blocked, sends it in front. Here's a chance. Cut returning. Shot saved, made Blackwood. Oh, where's the rebound? They score. Kuzmenko puts it in. Calgary wins 3-2. And it's a power play goal for Calgary, 4-on-3.
Yeah, I really thought they controlled the game after the first period. I thought the second period, once we got up 2-0, I thought we didn't really play with a defensive conscience. I thought they were quicker to lose pucks. I thought they were more physical. And, you know, I thought after the first period, we didn't really have much going on. And I give them a ton of credit because I thought that they played with a lot more aggression and pace and determination. And we were actually fortunate to get it to overtime.
All right, good morning, guys. How are we all doing on a Wednesday morning after the Sharks fall to Calgary by a final of 3-2 in overtime? And not to be repetitive, but there's something I've talked about over and over this year, and that is if you're at home and you've only given up 2 goals going into the third period, that should be a game that you should win like 85, 90% of the time, in my opinion. Like, maybe not always, but it should feel like it's going to be a situation where you are set up to win time and time again. And that's just unfortunately not where the Sharks are right now. And I think the most obvious factor when we talk about all of that is their lack of offensive ability. And, you know, they jumped out to that 2-0 lead in this game. And I kept on waiting. Okay, guys, get the third. If you get the third, tack on a fourth. Give yourself some breathing room. A 2-0 lead, you know, I'm not of the it's the most dangerous lead in sports, that mentality. But you know that this Sharks team, if they can build onto it, then they can give themselves a little bit of breathing room. Otherwise, the other team is going to get themselves right back into it. And that is, unfortunately, what we saw. And that Sharks' lack of ability to add on that third goal, to give themselves a little bit of breathing room, came back to bite them when all was said and done. And I think that last night, one of the things that we can point to most particularly is the lack of execution on the power play. And I am not a shoot for the sake of shooting guy. You know, when I come to a power play, I just think, okay, yeah, create your looks, create your space, pull the defense in different directions, get them to collapse, get them to bite, get them to over defend and try and, you know, just stop a shot. And eventually you'll find someone with a little bit of space. But there was an anemic power play on the ice last night. I mean, just multiple occasions, just far too much passing, not enough decisiveness. One of the things that I always come back to is, are you asking questions of the defense? And if you're just moving them around, you know, just cycling the puck, then you're not putting them in a scramble mode. You're not stressing them. You're not making them freak out and react and put them in a situation where anything can happen. You're really just giving them, you know, a lesson in defending the power play and watching what you're going to do time and time again. And I think the longer you get into a power play, like, two things can happen. You're either going to test them and wear them down, or really you're just going to move the puck around. And that's not the same thing as testing them. And the Sharks did not test them nearly enough last night. They only had 22 shots on goal throughout the entirety of the game. And that's just not enough offense in general. There's not enough offensive chance generation. There were not enough looks. There was not enough aggression. And I don't know why that was last night, because the power play as of late has looked decent. But last night, it just wasn't lacking the aggression, or it was lacking the aggression, I should say, that was needed to give themselves more of an opportunity to win. And that's something that they need to work on. We heard David Quinn talk about it in the last couple of games that, yes, I would like to see them shoot the puck more. And I don't know where that hesitance has come from. Like, at this point, the season is clearly, you know, done with in terms of a playoff chase. The only thing you're trying to do is, you know, just finish out and give yourself a strong performance. If you want to prove to David Quinn and to Mike Greer and other associated players that you are, you know, trying to be here for the future, there's no better way to do that than to shoot. Be aggressive. Make something happen. Even if you're not getting a goal, if you can just put yourself and your team in a position to have some sort of a better outcome than what's currently happening on the ice, I think that you would want to see that. I don't think there should be any fear of making mistakes. But unfortunately, that hesitance, that overall lack of aggression did play out as a factor in this game. Is if you're unable to build onto that 2-0 lead and you're unable to give yourself just any sort of breathing room, then yeah, it's going to come back to bite you. And that's pretty much what happened. That 2-0 lead turned into a 2-1 game, turned into a 2-2 tie, turned into a stalemate, turned into a loss in overtime when they eventually had the man disadvantage as Calgary went on the power play in the 3-on-3, which turned into a 4-on-3. And again, you know, Mackenzie Blackwood did his job. He gave up 2 goals through 60 minutes of time on the ice. It's the offense that continually is the issue for the San Jose Sharks. And that's not to say that the defense has not been the issue at times this year, but there have just been so many games where I've looked at it and said if they'd just been able to give themselves a little more offense. And yeah, I mean, offense is the name of the game in the NHL, and Mackenzie Blackwood has not gotten that offensive support nearly often enough, and I'm sure he's frustrated by it, but I think it tells you that the Sharks can play a decent game. It's the lack of offensive generation which hurts them so much. And it's not like Calgary is a great team, but it's also not like they're a bad team. They're relatively middling. I think they're not that far off from being a very good team. And when you see that situation work out, when you see them do so many things right or give themselves so many opportunities, you would like to see the better outcome. Because, you know, you start off that game with a goal from William Eklund, who has been so decisive, so impressive in his overall game. I love the confidence with which he is playing. I think that that's something that was not there earlier this year. Even though he was making growth and making strides all throughout the season, you were waiting for William Eklund to find that next level in his game. And I think that since the All-Star break in particular, William Eklund just all across the board in his game has looked better and better and better. And he's got 16 goals on the year now. And you might say, well, 3 of those happened the other night in a hat trick performance. But like, I don't care. The goals matter. He scored those 3 goals in a game that won for the San Jose Sharks, and he's following it up. He is hot. You know, those guys get scoring in bunches. Remember how Patrick Marleau used to score in bunches? I mean, it was crazy how he would do it, but that's, you know, how goal scorers are oftentimes. They score in bunches. And right now, William Eklund is in the midst of a hot streak and seemingly getting better as we get deeper into the season, and that's something that I like to see. I did see something that was interesting after the game last night that I think is a developing thing, and this was in the post game. And, you know, I looked specifically at William Eklund and Thomas Bortolo, and we'll get into more of this on the other side, but they both seemed pretty ticked off at the loss. And, you know, I think earlier this year, you saw Bortolo and William Eklund, there was not, you know, like the stars in their eyes or anything like that, but I think that they were rolling with the punches. And they were very focused on the game-to-game experience. But now it's like they've both been in the NHL long enough. Even if William Eklund has been here longer than Bortolo, you can see that there is quite a bit of frustration building. You can see that these guys are ticked off and getting annoyed with the losses. And it wasn't like they were demonstrably angry after the game. You could just see a little bit of a look in an eye where it was like, okay, they have had enough of this. They are getting sick of the losing. They are not viewing this as in like, oh, just, you know, play till the season comes to a close. They want to win games. And, you know, I think they probably saw this as an opportunity that got away from them, and they want to not experience this type of losing this year like they, you know, like they have. They want to be able to move on from it. And I hope that that motivation carries with them through the offseason and takes them into the start of the next season. Because listen, I know that this team next year is most likely not going to thrust themselves back into a playoff position, but I think that getting angry about losing and not letting this culture of losing be something that takes hold is something that I think is important, because you need to have these guys be sick of it and understand that it's not the norm and understand that it's not where they want to be. And, you know, I understand that they're trying to establish themselves as NHL players, but as part of that, understanding that the losing that the Sharks have gone through over the past couple of years and that so far they've been surrounded with up to this point of their careers, yeah, they're probably over it. They're probably getting tired. They're no longer just, you know, fresh into the league and saying, hey, this is fun. It's like, okay, you know, they've broken through, and now they want to win games. Now they want to be part of the win. Now they want to do something that will help the team win. And yes, William Eklund had another goal last night, but I think he's probably feeling like, hey, you know, we need to do more. We need to be taking these 2-0 leads at home and turning that into a win as opposed to letting it get away. And obviously the fan perspective of, you know, it's the end of the year and they're trying to get the most or best odds at getting Macklin Celebrini. Yeah, I understand that as well. I understand exactly why that mentality exists. And I don't hate the fact that the Sharks did not win last night for that reason. I'm trying to be realistic. But at the same time, my reaction to everything is not the same as those guys' reactions, because they're the one who are playing to win the game. You don't play, you know, for the future. Ostensibly, you play for the here and now. And I remember talking to Logan Couture about this at the end of last season. I said, you know, fans, you know, would talk about wanting to tank and wanting to get, you know, Connor Bedard. And I said, that's probably hard for you, you know, to understand or to hear that, you know, they think that some 18-year-old is going to save the day. And Logan said, oh, you know, he understood it completely. He said he was a, you know, fan of sports too. He understood as it came to the draft for the Blue Jays or for the Buffalo Bills or anything like that. Like, he got it. He understood how it worked. So, you know, I understand that those guys might recognize the fan mentality, but it doesn't make the losing any easier. It just makes it part of what they're going through right now. All right, let's get into some of the highlights from last night. William Eklund, another goal for him. He keeps on rolling, and he gave the Sharks an early lead.
Right now, here comes Nazem Kadri for Calgary, moving into the Shark zone. Runs into the traffic. Combination of Zetterlund and Ferraro knocked it free. And that'll be picked back up by Eklund. Throws it across Granlund. Lead for Zetterlund. Moves in. Lead pass. Eklund in. Shoot. Score! William Eklund gets behind the defense. A perfect pass from Zetterlund, and his backhand chance gets by Dustin Wolf. At 7:22 of the first period, William Eklund gets his 16th of the season, and the Sharks lead 1-0.
Great call from Ruzzi there. Great goal by the Sharks, and that was something they were doing really well in the early part of the game. The first 25, 30 minutes, they were doing a very good job of causing turnovers and taking the puck the opposite direction. And that was something that faded as they got deeper into the game, and no one really had a distinct answer as to why. But yeah, it created offense early on. It created opportunities. It created game control. There was a reason they were up 2-0 in the second period. But yeah, William Eklund just keeps on scoring, keeps on producing. You see Granlund and Zetterlund getting in on the action. I mean, these guys, the Lund brothers, they have been great individually. They are great collectively. It's very exciting to think of what these guys can do in the future. And when there are just more talented players overall on the Sharks, and when these guys keep on developing, like, we've only just begun to taste what an Eklund and what a Zetterlund in particular can bring to the table. I do think that Granlund obviously has a lot left in his game, and he's shown the rest of the NHL that he is still a very good and very dangerous player. But yeah, on that play in particular, that was fun. The Sharks extended their lead to 2-0 thanks to a goal from Jacob McDonald.
The Sharks have to be content with dumping it into the offensive zone. And the change coming. Hoffman just stole it. Feeds in front. And a score! McDonald gets it after Hoffman stole it. And a beautiful backhand shot by Jacob McDonald makes it 2-0 Sharks at 2:22 of the second period.
And at that point, I'm thinking to myself, okay, what are they going to do now to build upon that lead, because they just do not have the ability offensively to be consistently relied upon to add on. And I even had the thought in my head of, okay, whoever scores this next goal is probably going to win this game. And lo and behold, that was Calgary, and I unfortunately was right.
Here's Coronado with the near side, twisting and turning. Nice little move there on Ruta. Throws it across the rink. Could be trouble. Anderson in the slot. Shoots one. Score! He got his own rebound as the first one was blocked, and Rasmus Anderson puts the Flames on the board. It's the Sharks 2, the Flames 1, with 14:25 to go in the second.
Even though, like I said, I was right when all was said and done, I was then waiting to see what sort of a response the Sharks would have to see if they could get things going offensively again, find another goal, but no, that's not the way that it happened. And again, you've seen it so many times, you see the same thing over and over. It's like, okay, are the Sharks going to be able to build upon this lead? Or when it gets to be 2-1, are they going to respond? And, you know, it was just about 10 minutes later that Nazem Kadri was able to level the game at 2.
Rebound near boards. Kadri turns, twists, holds the puck, feeds back to Uyghur on the point. He's got 19 goals. Gives it to Sharon Govich down low. Chance for Mangiapane's side of the goal. Now it's in front. Shot, score! Nazem Kadri gets control of it and snaps it home, tying the game at 2 with a power play goal for the Flames.
Now, the Sharks did do a good job of not letting the game get away from them. I do give them credit for that, because we've seen it far too many times this year where the game does get away. And they had their opportunities in the third period. They had two power plays and one that even extended into the overtime, but they just looked relatively anemic on the power play, just lacking bite, lacking aggression. And if you don't capitalize on those opportunities in a tight game, especially at home, when you don't have a great level of talent overall as a team, it's going to come back to be problematic. And, you know, again, this is not rocket science or anything that I am presenting to you. This is what happened time and time again when we look back at the 23-24 season. It was the Sharks' inability to manage a lead, build upon a lead, and eventually take advantage of the opportunities that were presented to them. And then when Calgary got an opportunity with the man advantage in overtime, they made it count.
Huberdeau. Kuzmenko on the left point has it. He stick handles, gives back to Huberdeau, holds the puck, and Sturm tried to check it away. Shot by Huberdeau blocked, sends it in front. Here's a chance. Cut, returning. Shot, save made. Blackwood! Oh, where's the rebound? They score! Kuzmenko puts it in. Calgary wins 3-2. And it's a power play goal for Calgary, 4-on-3.
Obviously, that was all the game had to offer, so not a terrible showing in any way, shape, or form. The Sharks do earn a point out of it, but ultimately, a lot of the things that have haunted the Sharks all year long came back to haunt them, specifically the lack of offense, the inability to build upon a 2-0 lead, and just not looking nearly aggressive enough on the power play. All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to get into some post-game reaction and more. That's all coming up on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
They're going to have the best odds to draft Macklin Celebrini. And I'm not sure that he's a Connor Bedard level player, but maybe not far off. You add someone like that to the mix, and I think that would excite the fan base. Obviously, that would be a great infusion of talent. And it's funny because winning the draft lottery is better some years than other years. You know, I think about the Oilers, who have had, what, 4 first overall picks since 2010, and they're not all the same. I mean, they took Nail Yakupov first overall. I'm not even sure if he's still playing or where he's playing, if he is. But then they took Connor McDavid first overall. So it really depends on what year you win the draft lottery. And this would be a pretty good year to win it for the Sharks.
Welcome back to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network. That is Derek Wills talking about the Sharks and where they are right now in their rebuild. He continued his thoughts.
As far as their team goes, I don't know. It's hard for me to wrap my head around how they've struggled the last handful of seasons because for a quarter of a century, they were always competitive, sometimes for a Stanley Cup, other times as a playoff team. So it's, I'm sure, been tough for a lot of Sharks fans, but, you know, they're a team that's decided to go down the road of a full-blown rebuild, and I think only time's going to tell. I mean, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. It's an appealing market for players to play in, I think. Certainly the fan base there might not be the biggest in the NHL, but it's pretty rabid, in my opinion. And not a bad spot to live either. So it's going to be interesting to watch what happens with them. The Kings were able to turn things around pretty quickly. We'll see if the Sharks can do the same.
So, yeah, I always ask when I talk to these broadcasters around the NHL and other media minds, you know, the perspective of the Sharks from where they're at. Because I always tell people, like, from far away, you see some of the scores that have been there this year. You see some of the losing streaks. It might look worse than what it actually is because when you're up close and personal, you see a lot more of the detail. You see a lot more of the nuance. You see a lot more of what goes into each game. What is problematic? What is not problematic? What is deceptive? And like Mackenzie Blackwood is a great example of this because he's not going to get the win last night and his season numbers are not going to be amazing. But anybody who's been up close can tell you that Mackenzie Blackwood has had a great year for San Jose and just continues making huge, huge stops and coming up, whether or not his stick has been knocked away or whether or not he's, you know, just splayed across the ice trying to make something happen. He keeps on coming through with the big, big saves.
Meanwhile, inside the San Jose offensive zone, the Sharks look for it. Kind of appropriate that he wears number 32, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I never even thought about it.
Here's Kuzmenko in front. Here's an angle play to the slot. What a save by Mackenzie Blackwood. Oh, Nazem Kadri right in front of the net. It's cool. And it should have been in, but it's not because of Mackenzie Blackwood.
And for me, Mackenzie Blackwood is a big part of the future. And I think that if you have a netminder like him as your go-to guy, someone who is seemingly in love with the process, like we see him talking about his game afterwards. We see him, you know, working on his game in practice. He doesn't just think he is a complete product. He is constantly working to get better. He works hard in practice, works hard in the games, gets along with everyone. You really appreciate what he brings to the table. And watching his skill set develop over the course of the year and watching him have what I feel is a very positive season when you don't look at the numbers is exactly what people don't see from the outside. So that's a big piece going forward. If the Sharks have a little bit more offense, have a little bit more talent out there on the ice, then a lot of these close losses have the opportunity to flip into close wins. Now, does that mean they get into the playoffs immediately? No, of course not. That's not what my level of expectation is. My level of expectation is to see these winnable games turn in more often than not to wins. Like, yes, you can be, you know, in a 2-2 game and still win. A 2-0 lead does not always have to turn into a loss. You can build upon your ability to manage these games, grow a lead, have your goalie come up big, not make the small mistakes, and walk away with 2 points when all is said and done. Unfortunately, that has not been what we have seen consistently from the Sharks. All right, getting into the post game. Like I said, little bit of frustration in the voice of Thomas Bortolo.
I thought I felt good out there. Obviously in a game tight like that, kind of pisses me off a little bit not being able to score and help the team win. So, I'm just trying to do that and help the team as much as I can.
And it's just more demonstrative language than we're used to hearing from Thomas Bortolo, who is so nice and so polite and always just, you know, the nicest guy in the world. You know, to hear him say that he was pissed off at himself that he was not able to help the Sharks win. Like that language didn't exist from him previously, at least not in my memory. In his body language, he looked agitated. And, you know, William Eklund is not as, forceful a speaker, but to me, when I watched him speak after the game yesterday, he looked pretty ticked off as well.
Yeah, obviously, we're up 2-0 and we can't hold that. And that's something that we're going to work on. We can't give up leads like that, when you had 2-0 there. So we got to see what we can do better next day.
And like I said, he's not as forceful a speaker as Thomas Bortolo. You saw the frustration in his face. And I think that two guys that are expected to be a big part of the Sharks' future, if they're walking away from a tight loss and you can see that they're not pleased with it, it's not just about being up here and playing in the NHL anymore with these guys. It's about the desire to win. I didn't hate that. And I know that you would always rather see a win, but I do think that there is something that is going to be born of the hard times here in San Jose. And I think that is what a team has to go through. I think that Fabian Zetterlund and William Eklund, Thomas Bortolo, these guys are ticked off. They do not like the losing. They do not like being on the wrong end of things time and time again. And even though Bortolo hasn't been up as long as Eklund, I think that you can see the frustration mounting and the anger starting to build. And I'm all for it because next year you want those guys to come out like they were shot out of a cannon. You want them to have big performances early. You want them to be able to establish themselves in the NHL. And I think that, they want it. I think that's one of the things that Mike Greer has tried to establish very much since he drafted these guys. He didn't draft Eklund and Bortolo per se, but just all the younger guys. He wants them to want it. He wants them to want to win at the NHL level. He wants them to fight out of the AHL and come in with a little bit of a, an attitude on their shoulders. So I think we're starting to see that developed. And I don't mean an attitude like a bad attitude. I mean an attitude of I'm sick of losing. That ultimately, I think, is what will make a team better and take a team to the next level. And, Tampa went through it. Colorado went through it as the two obvious examples as of late of teams that were really bad and then became really good. Hopefully that's what the Sharks are developing right now. And obviously it's way too early to see where these guys are going to be in a few years. But, last night's reaction from Bortolo and Eklund, I did not sense that they were in love with this loss like they maybe were able to brush off some others. This one seemed to sting, and that's good considering The clock is winding out on the season. It is, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but it is a meaningless game, right? Like, they're out of playoff contention. Both teams are out of playoff contention. The game didn't mean anything per se, but it meant something to those out there on the ice, and especially two guys who are supposed to be part of the Sharks' future.
We just cheated the game, I thought, in the second and the third. I thought we were wanted it to be easy. We were hoping that things were going to happen instead of, approaching the game the honest way and the right way. And, I just, like I said, I thought we were fortunate to get it to overtime.
And I think that's something that has been a problem for the Sharks all year. They start chasing offense. They get a little bit into puck chasing. They're not as defensively minded. They don't do the little things as well. And I think that that's obviously part of the learning process the team has been going through all year. And I don't have a specific problem with the learning process so long as they learn from it in the coming seasons when they have a little bit more talent out there on the ice, when they have a little bit more experience with some of the younger players. That to me is the litmus test. Is like, when we look at this team a year from now, are they making the same mistakes, or are those mistakes much fewer and, not happening nearly as much in their game? Those to me are the things that you look for most specifically, because you want a team to be able to still have bumps in the road. Obviously, it doesn't turn over in 1 year, but are they doing it far less frequently? Are they doing it far less often? Are they able to manage the situations when we're April 2025 that were problematic for them in April 2024? And I think this year is obviously the low point where things have been torn down to the studs, and now we see where they build from here. And again, hopefully that is the case. Hopefully that game management, that ability to not chase offense, chase the puck, be more honest with their game, hopefully that is something that is more ingrained in their DNA as a team when we come back next season. Part of that to me will be a team that is hopefully more aggressive overall on the power play than they were last night. David Quinn's thoughts.
Well, to me, it's all about having an anticipation within the power play, knowing what you're going to do with it before you get it. And we had opportunities to maybe pass it a little quicker, ready shoot it when we got it. We held on to it, and we were just way too predictable and too slow.
Yeah, it was not their best night for the power play, not at all. And I would hope that over the last couple of games, that's something they try to improve upon. And David Quinn was asked, what is the goal for this team over the final four games now?
Well, we've got an opportunity here these last four games to finish strong and feel good about who you are as a player and who we are as a team, despite our record. And, we lost a tough one the other night to Arizona, and, go back and watch the game once they got that third goal. We did a lot of good things leading into that game. I thought we played with the pace and we had an edge to us. Same with the St. Louis game. And, tonight we didn't have anybody really that played well on our goalie.
I will temper that by saying at least not for the entirety of the 60 minutes of the game. I thought that there were moments where players looked good and looked full of vigor. But like David said, that did not continue for the entirety of the game, and it got away from him. And yeah, Mackenzie Blackwood was the player who was consistently good all throughout the night, and he deserved more. It was another game for Colin Graf. David Quinn offered his thoughts on his game.
Yeah, it's one thing he can do. He can make plays, and, he's got a lot of confidence with the puck, which is good to see for a young player at this level, and especially when you're three games into your NHL career. So, his puck skills are real.
And also, there was one instance where Colin Graf turned it over, but listen, there are learning moments, and that was a learning moment, and hopefully it was brought to him as a teachable moment. No one's expecting him to come in directly out of college hockey and be a star player, but get the experience now, right? Like, get the experience, learn from the mistakes. These games are not full of stakes. They are obviously guys wanting to prove themselves to the staff, but again, this is your opportunity to make those mistakes and learn from your mistakes, because, the Sharks, hopefully in a time period that is sooner rather than later, will be in games with big time stakes where things are expected of them. And those are not when you want to be learning about what you haven't done correctly. And hopefully the Sharks will be ready for those moments and have gotten the tough times out of their game. All right, we are just about out of time. I will be back with you on Thursday afternoon as we get ready for Seattle. But tonight, be sure to tune into the Sharks Audio Network as Nick Nolenberger and the San Jose Barracuda take on Henderson right here on the Sharks Audio Network, 6:30 pre, 7 o'clock go time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.